music to post the start.
I hear you. Yes, it's start. It's start. Another Wednesday night, 7 o'clock yard time, Jamaican time, General Nine Star, we make love, we don't make war, and when it's upon the mic, we just come to spar. Now this is the cat called Howard Hendricks, in the mix, with enough lyrics, another Wednesday night. In your eardrum, knocking it plum, 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 plum. Now we are going to give you a poem. And the poem was written a while ago, but still relevant because we're still having armed conflict across the world. So it's still relevant. And this one is called Anti-Roachy Blues. Black skin, black faces, anguish, frustration, screams. Smack the face of my TV screen. Am I alive or living in a dream? No food or weather. What a disaster. Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama. What a drama. Where is my white brother? He's flying F-15 helicopter. Bombing Baghdad, creating terror. Killing innocent Pitney and mother. Protecting Uncle Sam Dalla. Reaping the spoils of Middle East oil while back on the shore. The dike broke down. No army reserve, no run come. In poor black suburbs, the poor white shanties still to protect woman clad in t-shirt and panties. No distribution of candles, cell phone cards, water pampers, while Bush is burning steak on his ranch, or flying over in Air Force One after Katrina. Hits like headline in Gleana. Make me Auntie Roti say, make me Auntie Roti say, make me Auntie Roti say, make me Auntie Roti say. What's up? This no Rocky Pine Clarendon, our lover's leap, our flagger man. This no Ivan, Emily, our Dennis, when zinc did a play lawn tennis. Or should we excavate Port Royal or Portmore so that the shatters pirate can strike gold, be it when them tour in a poor black people backyard. Even America no have no disaster plan for the Indian or the poor black man. And who can forget 9/11, Ivan, Peter Tosh death, near Miss Lou Earth Day, when the Dukunu should have landed in a Canada via Tarak, Korea. So she can pinch it, bite it, nyam it, dip it in her mug of coffee, while somewhere fill that down, jump down, tighter than a sardine pan, early September morning, black skin, black faces, hit the plasma of my TV screen. Where me Auntie Roti there? Where me Auntie Roti there? Where me Auntie Roti there? Now this is my September. You know, we're moving out of August, going into September. And in Jamaica, across the Caribbean, it's what you normally call disaster, the month of disaster, because we watch the hurricanes them from May, start of the hurricane season, come into June, July. Yeah, man, you know, July, none at all. And then them say August, sometime it a must. And September is normally a time to remember. And October, we say, pure danger. And then November, we say, well, we have some memories to remember. But if you remember, for the past 2-3 years, we have some hurricane and some tropical storm creeping up in November. I remember about 3 or 4 years, right at the beginning of COVID time, we had the one that even went into December. They call it climate change, and things are change, and things are rearranged. And what we do know, we're watching some weather patterns that is taking place in the Caribbean region. For example, Franklin is somewhere in the vicinity of Hispaniola, off the coast of Haiti, Dominican Republic, for those Caribbean people, because some people, believe it or not, some Americans know America as the world. So they know where else exists but America. So they know America as the world. Now we have the second biggest country in the Caribbean, Hispaniola, and it's divided into Haiti and Dominican Republic. One side is dirt poor, the first country in the world that ever have a black revolution for people to stand up for human rights, getting independent in their post-slavery days was in Haiti. And you know, dear motherland, according to them, the Babylonian system, dear motherland is France. So, you know, we have some brethren who traveled from Jamaica and go across to Haiti and help them with their liberation struggle. And you know, the leader those times was Toussaint. And Toussaint even defeated the mighty, mighty conqueror of the earth was those times. There was a man called Napoleon Bonaparte. Yeah, man, the man that was running the place, whole of Europe, conquer the whole of Europe. Just like how Hitler did come conquer Europe. The man was conquering the whole of Europe, Napoleon Bonaparte. It was rumored that in those times as a ruler, he had one of the smallest PENIS that any ruler in this world have ever had. Yes, that was written in his book because I read that in books. Because as a historian, especially in high school, I did my advanced level in history. Well, I don't know in the American system where you have, if you have advanced level. In Jamaica now we call it CAPE. But I think you will call it pre-college. The pre-college part of in the transition between high school and university. So if I tell you that Napoleon Bonaparte was very small in nature, was a short man too. I'm not telling no lie. I read that in the history books. And on the other side of Hispaniola, you have the Dominican Republic. And you know that they speak Spanish in the Dominican Republic. And you know, it's two different complexion, you know, it's all sad to say, but there are two different complexion on that side of the border. And very sad to say, right? But we have been having some storm system in the Atlantic, and we have been watching them carefully. They say that Franklin is no threat to Jamaica. I think there are about two other systems giving birth out there. I think there's a system that is near to Texas. And then I know of Hillary creating some havoc between California and Hawaii, yes. Texas too. And I think Miss Cherry, now she take it upon herself, says she a national hero. Because, you know, I used to read comic books, you know. Right? I used to read comic books. And in the comic books, they used to say that you have Superman, who used to in charge of the Justice League in DC Comics. And you had Superman, and you had Wonder Woman, and you had Green Lantern, and Batman, and those people. And Superwoman was one of Superman's girlfriends. And I don't know if Miss Cherry decided that she take up the role as Superwoman, that she a national heroine travel. I don't know if she ever tried to stop the storm in California, right? Or some fire was burning in Hawaii, and she got to stop fire there. So I don't know, but in Marvel Comics, we had the Avengers, we had Thor, and Hulk, and those people, and we had like the X-Men, and we had the Fantastic Four with Mr. Fantastic and Ben Grimm, because part of my fantasy came out of comic books, you know. And to see how the world, the fantasy of my teenage days, it is a reality of today, where men are making cyborgs and mutants and robots and all kind of things. Right? And then my Miss Cherry, she, I don't know if she moved from the human form. I don't know if she, what serum she drink to get some special powers to fly gone over that side of America. We don't normally have no hurricane. So I don't know. In Jamaica, we have a thing called stop leak. We used to put some tarp on the house stop. We stop rain from fall. So one of the things, I want to talk with Miss Cherry, since she a superwoman, and then me going to make the devil laugh now. In the Jamaican situation, me come in like a superman because me always have to do something to the weather too. Yes. So I don't know if our science so strong, but one of the things we want to talk about is the climatic change and how we do some disaster preparation in Jamaica, the West Indies, versus in the big America.
Miss Cherry, you did it. Oh, my goodness. Well, I like the fact that you say you're a superman, you know. Let me kind of get you nice. We have a good chance, eh?
Well,
oh, my gosh.
Superman and superwoman support an X-ray vision and can lift up whole part things and lift up one whole fortress and carry on a Mars go dash and come back in a record time.
And come back. Oh,
yes.
Yes. Well, thank you, General. It is absolutely wonderful. Hey, I love that poetry there. I always full joy the poetry corner, I know. The delivery is just so impactful, and of course the words them just jam it right into the speech. So bless up for them good thing there.
And you know, someone write that poem there over 10 years ago, but me just had to fit it in into the whole weather situation because I'm a little bit concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Right, mm-hmm. And big up to me cousin Angie and her husband and her son over in California. They're somewhere near some desert, and I was hearing some story like some desert are flooding out or something like that. Right?
Yeah.
So I am a little bit concerned. I haven't linked her yet. I haven't heard a thing from her. So I'm a little bit concerned with her over in California, dear. You know?
Yeah.
So what you have to say, what do you see over there?
I'm just going to go over briefing because I don't want to, what I'm saying is an individual base, not representing the major company. So this is just little my personal stuff that you are able to see online, that kind of thing. I am glad, really, you, and this is the thing I hope, I know you're in the business of weather and all of that.
Yeah,
the weather and all of them good things there. And I think it's so appropriate for you have brought up the topic. To kind of engage our audience in preparation. We don't do this enough, and I hope your show will kind of bring this back in more details. And I know you're the expert in your area in terms of preparation and weather forecasting to be. But in general, right now, I think over on this side of the world, we have about 5 disturbances. As a matter of fact, they're all not even disturbances now. They are named.
Don't go any further. Where you are now, I am used to storms, Atlantic base. But what are you trying to say? That you are meeting storms from the Pacific side? Along with Atlantic base storm? What are you seeing strange?
In terms of what they are seeing, there are five activities which are now are over the Atlantic. Three of them are now Tropical Storm Emily, Franklin, and Gert, G-E-R-T. Hope I did pronounce that correctly. And may form over the Gulf of Mexico and heading to Texas. That one, again, probably have Texas there, which I think we had some activities today over there as well.
So
Texas is always getting a real nice wetting. It is constantly, really in that path there. Of course, as you know, with Florida, if anybody doesn't get in Florida, the Carolinas usually really are impacted. Well, like you talk about Jamaica, we have those beautiful mountains and how we are set up there in the Caribbean Sea to help prevent a lot of destruction.
Yes.
Yeah, but when we do get it, you know, we do get hit hard.
So
and
let me ask you something. In Texas, in Texas, no. Because when I think Texas, I think prairies is Canada. I think grass and I think cowboy. And man in them sombrero and Stetson and 2 6 shooter and them side. And I ride and I ride a mule, right? And the Indians in the reservation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how the Indians, because since the Indians, they more look like me. How the Indians normally manage in those reservations? Because I never really hear about the impact of hurricane storms, etc., on the Indians. Because I get the feeling that Indian American people are living kind of dirt poor, and it must have a big impact on them.
Good question. What happened, and I'm not going into the detail-y,
yes,
what
I understand.
Happened in when you have a declaration, because as you know, the Indians are in themselves an entity. And what you had was previously, which has just changed, is that the Indians themselves, now these entities are able to have their own declaration as an entity. Previously, you had Texas. Everything is just one declaration. You know, I'd have to go into a little bit more detail for that to really kind of make some sense. So if you had one whole, a blanket declaration, then you wouldn't hear, say, of individual as a sense on the news. But when you go to the declaration, you would go to the protocol, like to go to an Indian reservation, would be different from when you go to, because there are some things that you have to observe as a non-Indian going on an Indian reservation. There are certain etiquette that you have to follow, et cetera, et cetera. But so everything is kind of in blanket. So you don't hear a specific call out for a particular era. But now
they
kind of change that a little bit.
Let me make it easier for you. In Jamaica here, when we're having a hurricane, we can always know by watching the animals. So you see the cow them start to dance, and the donkey them start to dance, and especially the goat
them.
And the ants.
More than anything,
yes.
A red ant.
Yes. Yes, start to come out and run up and down and so on. So like with the cowboys, them now, because at Texas, me and talk about the cowboys, them now. How they manage the cow? Are the cows and the bulls and heifers in Texas as sensible as the one they have in Jamaica?
Yeah, I don't want everybody like that.
Well, Jamaican people like to call cow bull cow, you know. You know, hear the term bull cow? Bull cow, right. Like the cows are hermaphrodite. You know? Right?
But like coffee tea. Come on, man. We are unique.
Right.
You definitely unique in whatever we do. So I'm not sure. With the bull cow, the bull cow thing. But I think I have not been in a situation where I am in the midst of a storm there. Usually get there after the storm.
Storm, right. Mm-hmm.
The casualty for cow is like the casualty for human beings, same way. You know, the path, you get lick up and wash up and swim up, same way. Of course, if you have enough, you know, whatever system they have in a particular area, these animals depends on if they're on a range or so, you know, they have probably higher ground or somewhere that they are, you know, unless it's a flood, you know, some of them can swim a little bit, but, you know, rushing waters and all of that would be challenging. But they do survive, especially them who is upon a range where them are in a captivity as such. Them have them little footing, and they're smart. Cows are very smart animals too.
So in terms of the IQ, how would you rate the cows in Texas in terms of IQ with the cows in Jamaica?
To be honest with you, I don't want to seem biased or anything, but Jamaican cow,
marginal
cow. Well, of course, you know, the environmental, the community that them the cow they grew up in, to where them have been weird, man, I try to chop them neck while they were turn up. And all of them think they're going to try skin them just or cut off a tail and things. So, you know, they call them off definitely better. You know, I was in a place called Nogales, that's right on the border of Mexico. When I stand up, like I stand up in my office, I put out my hand and I'm putting my hand in Mexico. That was really intriguing. And they called them come out in the street because in that area, they kind of make them roam. And
right.
They come out in the street and walk out in the street in the traffic. And the traffic cops, the car, the cow cops, they have to come and talk to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And go on back in the bush path or whatever it is. That was really very cute to see how they behave like that.
Next question. Jamaica don't have a lot of wild animals because we as a people, we so hot that non-wild animals can't really survive here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get wild longer, we get wild. So certain animals never come here like lion and tiger. So it come live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because not even monkey really come here to come live, because it's a serious competition. But up in California now that I know have some unique, I think you have some jaguars, you have some sheep, some pumas, some of those large cats and so on.
What?
How do they survive, those unique animals, how do they survive in a storm? Where do they go to? Higher land? What do they do?
And again, not living in the particular area, never really asked that question directly. Like for the zoos and all of that, they have their habitats set up. But it is only limited to what the catastrophe is like. You don't have like on float, you know, so you put them in if the water come, them float until the water draw. It is the same kind of existence. You just hopefully that area that you know, impacted by whatever the situation is, they're not there, but they will suffer the same kind of demise like anybody else, you know, because if you have real a big herd, there is no way you're going to have enough space like a particular shelter to put. It's not like, say, like racehorses where you may have some, you know, because those are not as expendable as you have a cow where is they are made for slaughtering. And you have sometimes when you have pending dangers that then you have slaughtering. You have slaughtering in order to, I mean, to kind of curb some of the stock, and instead of their perishing. So you may have slaughtering to help with that if they have enough time.
Next question I want to ask. Texas is known for, Arizona, Colorado is known for their cattle rearing and so on. So which state is known for rear hog?
I have no idea. That's some tough question you're asking tonight. I never thought on them. I would expect that Virginia most have have a special ham thing. You have a lot of, not a hell of a lot, we deal with certain sausages and so.
So let me ask one question. I don't want you to talk loud, do you know? So let me ask one question. Let me whisper it. So tell me something. You ever seen a Rasta man up in Virginia, especially Norfolk? After the place name? Norfolk, Virginia?
Yes.
There you go. You ever see Rasta man up there?
Rasta man everywhere. Rasta man in Alaska. Rasta man every single place.
Yeah, but because the pig up there. You ever see them talk about Arnold and Chenton? You say anything like that?
Listen to me, man. The man there, Rasta man, and I like the Rasta man them probably that we used to know years ago who fight certain things. You're thinking about people who have to survive now, and remember where your friend,
describe him, don't call him name.
No, man, a singer, artist, we artist, say.
What do you mean, Pluto Servant?
Remember that Pluto. Remember that thing there. Right. So
no,
a lot of the rest of man then we are do them things still in our a lot of us do things still in our pan the other side and then
fire.
You know,
fire.
Exactly. So you just never know. No problem here with my computer. Just broke. So, those are really, really very good questions. I mean, it's like also when we in Jamaica, you know, we usually have more goats, more than people. Normal people have their one cow. So you'd have bring your one cow, come in your yard.
Yes,
in a
hurricane time. Yes.
Yes.
Butchery.
Goat them close.
Put them in the butchery.
In a
under the cellar.
Right.
Under the cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, under the cellar, man. Right?
Yeah.
Me remember, you know.
Yes,
me remember, you know. I remember two hurricanes, but the two hurricanes never hit Jamaica. The first hurricane was my father. My mother wanted to batter up the house. And my father, I think he was covered. He couldn't deal with the realization of hurricane. So he battered up. So We wanted to bat up the house and we bat up the windows and everything, me and my mother. And then we one more door, say we are going to batter down. That because we say, look, if he don't come in out of this time, a feeling business, we're going to lock him out. And just as we get the piece of board to put across the front door and him come in, junk as a bat.
Oh, Jesus goodness.
Yes, he just heads straight for him bed.
Oh.
Because when he wake up, he say he never want to face this storm, right?
Oh.
So he prefer to face this storm.
So, I don't understand it. So, but daddy, you're going to be the one who are going out there, see, make sure that the water or the thing. So him go take rum, see?
Yes, because it was I think it was a dread storm, you know. I don't remember the name of the storm, but it never really hit us. Because one of the things with Jamaica, which is good, we are very spiritual. We have the most church per square mile in the world. And we have the most bar. Yes, don't forget that part.
So, in fact, the spirit techno, what kind of spirit?
Is either the
spirit or, we don't know. The spirit.
One spirit is a medium. And one spirit is a spirit. Right. So if you go to bars in Jamaica, you hear more gospel preach in bars than in most churches.
Oh, hallelujah.
And more baptism too, because when a man crack a bottle of rum, the first thing he do is throw it over, in back, over in the side and say, "Video was gone by, you know."
Okay, yeah,
I'm
to get them people. Yes, I
don't know how one do it in foreign up there, like when you get in a whiskey. What I see on Cowboy Show, people just turn the whole bottle of moonshine whiskey to them head. They don't give none for those gone by.
You can't wait. Normal, you know, have them that kind of sharing and giving. That is too expensive to go throw down your whiskey pan ground and give nobody. So it is, first of all, you know, the moonshine, the risk for develop your moonshine, I'm feeling. And then you forgot to take your thing away. No, sir. People know that's the moonshine at all.
So why them call it moonshine? Right? Is it, they only make you any moon, full moon? Come out.
I think so. That's a good. Boy, I mean, if he asked me some questions today, I know to think of it. You teach me. I'm here trying to just think about someone here because you are just drop me some tough hard questions. I think moonshine probably is because of moonshine. Too, it is illegal. A moonshine at night time because you can't carry regular light to go make moonshine, you know, because I want to go see light in the bush. And if anyone is light in the bush, the police are come there with no one cut weed. It's just like when man usually plant the weed and then, you know, have them camouflage where, you know, you would get, you know, not make the authority feel. It's the same with moonshine because them usually hunt them and they like whatever.
So let me ask something now. We make rum down here out of sugar cane. And one of the best kind of rum, first part of the rum that I used to enjoy is what they call the Vulture Clarker. Do you know about Vulture Clarker?
Oh, boxer. No, sir.
You hear about Vulture Clarker. The only thing I use the English word for the term Janko Batty. Have you heard about Janky Batty?
Yes, we know about Janko Batty.
Yeah, and that is very, 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 very overproof rum. Sometimes it's like 120% overproof. Like when I was going to university, what we used to do, you know, we used to have a friend that come from Long Pond, like Chilani, and him father worked there, so he come with like a bottle of a Janko Batty. So it's a kind of rum that if you know car keep good, it will evaporate out of the back, you know.
Wow.
So you see, yeah, so you see most man run 4 o'clock, quarter to 4:30, quarter to 5, we would have get some orange and lime and throw in some of the junk about it in it and drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we're gonna do? Don't play football, you know, in the early morning, you know, in the dew, you know.
What?
It is
so that
sweetest.
Energizes, you know, rather than make you know, lay down sleep?
Right. So we go have an early morning soccer game, say 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Then we get up, we come back in and go bed, say 6:30, get something to eat and go to class.
Wow.
Yes. So,
wow.
Yes, and what we had learned, looking back at it, it used to also help with spontaneous early morning erections as well.
Oh,
you know?
Damn.
Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
But you shouldn't have no problem with that, man, at them age and stage there.
Yes, so sometimes you have to release some of the high energy, right? By going to kick balls, you know?
You know, at least I know.
But coming from the junk about, you know, what I want to ask you, sugarcane, I know the sugarcane make rum, and we plant sugarcane. What really make moonshine whiskey?
Corn.
What, corn?
They have, yeah.
You mean corn as in corn?
Corn, yeah.
We make corn meal?
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Then how come nobody at Jamaica now make whiskey?
Because we don't have, we don't have probably that much. But they use other things. It's like grains, you know, any kind of grain machine. That's what they've used to make. They have corn fermented with sugar, that kind of thing. They use even grapes. Too. I mean, they, you know, that's more, you know, I don't know, I don't know. But corn, remember, because I think it's a good percentage of it. It's
what?
Ethanol, and, you know, from ethanol you get.
Yes.
You know, they also use apple, too. They use, because, you know, a lot of apple up here, that's another, like, maybe two. Flavor it and give it some different kind of flavor it. But they use a lot of corn fermentation with the sugar and that kind of a thing. Create what you call a mash. I think that's what you call it. Yeah, the mash or whatever. That kind of thing. So, but that kind of thing, especially in them time there, it's like now the government find a way that them can tax, like, say, weed and them thing there. Of course, you know, weed was previously, as a matter of fact, come to think about the history, even of marijuana, or, well, more or less hemp at the time. If you never farm hemp, you have a certain amount as a farmer, you are required to farm hemp because that was how, like, you have the oil went at the White House, let me keep the lights going, paper, because hemp, you know, can make every single thing. And we're talking about the Chinese. They use, you know, even that's why the people usually smoke the Bible, tear out the Bible leaf and smoke it, because that usually is made from hemp leaves, hemp material. So them usually roll it up and tear it out and smoke it up.
Yeah, because I know that our ganja basically come from India when we had indentured laborers came across.
But the real ganja originally, China, most of the real weed come from, you know, China. Because Chinese have used ganja ever since for medicinal purpose. Maybe not as much as smoking, but for a lot of their medicine, the weed was a part of the medicine coming from China. India, yes, they use more smoking, just like Rasta in India. I mean, the amount of Rasta where you had in India before you even think about Jamaica for Rasta. People probably don't even look at it like that, too. But
you see,
in terms of this.
The next question I want to ask, still at the weather, I'm still a look on the animal, Florida. How I get to understand that, you know, has some new breed of snake. I don't know if it is imported, the phyton or whatever I name, in Florida now.
Florida.
I don't have, yes, I have both alligator, which we don't have out here, and then I have crocodile. When
they
a hurricane comes now,
so comes in and out.
Jamaica have crocodile. They should have called it crocodile pond. But because at the time, the person who named it was illiterate. He never knew one of their mouth longer than the other.
Oh,
right.
Who know the difference either?
Right,
so,
and crocodile have a short mouth, and alligator have a long mouth. Right. So
The thing about the snake family or whatever family them have, these people, you know, they breed snake, they have them as pets. Them don't realize, you know, it's like everybody wants to have a pit bull and don't realize it sometime and start to train them up, you know. And all of a sudden, the pit bull, them get overly dangerous and destructive, and then you have to destroy them. Them snake there where people having them yard and all of them think that the snake, them start to grow bigger than the accommodation that them have for the snake them. And then them take them out and go fling them away somewhere. And them, you don't know how the mating system and them. So you're going to have some species, just crossbreed species and all
them
with all of them. So you see them turning up in a toilet, them in the sewer system. Some of them flush them into the toilet and things, so them dead them and all of them kind of stuff there. You know, the Everglades where you have so much water. And certain places, you know, like anything else, you come and you throw them out, you know, wherever nobody now see you because you don't want to destroy them. And you have this, I call it infestation, and these species growing up and all of them kind of stuff. And, of course, them are going to gravitate back to where they can feed. And so it's a big problem. It is a major problem. My sister lives in Florida, and we call them alligator. We don't know what them called, but them big crocodile alligator.
The long mouth one is alligator.
We don't know if them mouth long are there. And you see, they have come up in their backyard out of them, stream behind.
Right.
A lake light, yeah. And them just crawl up every now and then if you know, realize. And, you know, like a kid out there, a play, because they look so much like whatever is there. Not like they're camouflaging themselves, but, you know, them brown like the dirt too. And, you know, see them a move. And if it's in the dark, you go, they go step on them and think because them come out of the water sometime. Maybe if you get some sunshine or maybe if you get other food. And they're right there with them. So it is a problem. It's a big problem. Well, like the alligator, whichever one of them, That is exotic meat too. Those that are in, you know, deeper waters or stuff, they hunt them for food. So that helped to eliminate some of them.
So let me ask a question. Where did Gilbert find you?
Huh?
Where were you during Gilbert?
Oh, God, I don't even remember where. I was somewhere.
Okay. How can you forget Gilbert?
Gilbert, what year was Gilbert?
That was 1988.
That time, there's Jamaica and Gilbert, but
right,
I don't remember how that was.
And how can you forget Gilbert?
Me no remember it, Master. Me have no memory of whatever took place.
Well, let me tell you about me and Gilbert. Gilbert.
No, I don't think I was in Jamaica 1988, no.
Oh. Gilbert was something
else.
No,
I wasn't.
Gilbert was something else. I have two memories of Gilbert. I remember that the night of Gilbert, I went home to help to batter up the horse again. And my father did the same thing like what he did for the previous hurricane. But this time, I was a little bit disappointed with him because then I had got older. Right?
Yeah.
I was even working then. So I've got older, and I didn't appreciate that the whole situation, that he didn't help, right, with fixing up the horse. So he came in just again when we were about to batter down.
Finish.
To finish, and he came in, and he was very calm, and then white, because my child Joe Naughty sent me here. My mother said to me, Howard, come here. So I said, what happened? Go look for your father in the bathroom. I said, why should I go look for my father in the bathroom? He said, go look at your father in the bathroom. When me go into the bathroom, my father in the bathroom, naked, as a day, as in barn, and him have one finger hold the tip of his apparatus, and the other finger, at the other hand, another finger around his testicles, and he's like him holding the tip of his apparatus, like he was playing a guitar, and him. In finger, I play like the part of the guitar down where in testicles is, and he hear me fall. It must be at the Piragon, man. He couldn't fall. In the bathroom, coming home and in the room, and all he could do is sing Ernest Smith song. I and I man forward. And a different scene. I and I man Cali Reed. So what happened?
Let me ask you. All right, go ahead. Sorry about that.
So,
go ahead.
So, me end up now, me have a friend who I hope he's not listening, right? I hope he's not listening because he had surgery about 3 weeks ago and his wife banned him from listening to me. So, I went to Kingston.
Okay, so cities in our cities blow up.
Yes, you see what happened in Kingston now, because the funny thing is that Ivan never touched our house. All we had was it blew up some coconut off of the coconut tree. So I went to Kingston not to see how my relative was. That time Kingston was under curfew, power cut, everything. So we heard that there was a dance in Greenwich Town and Classic is playing. So my friend got, and we have another friend near Romy, and the chair we jumped, so we are go. And by the way, Romy is now a bishop of a church. You hear his name? Romy. Well, I know he'll not be listening to my show. Romy is now a bishop, right, of his church. So Romy and I went to Classic, and there was a curfew. So police was coming to cordon the place. So our thing now was to drive to go back home in the darkness so that we don't get arrested. So we never figure out that there would be a helicopter in the sky. So we had drive from East Kingston to Ridgewalker, halfway through if you go home. And we hear the helicopter man with the beacon and the only light in the place. So you know, so the first thing we do, there's a go-go club near Lady Pink. So
wow.
The only thing we could have done is to drive in a Lady Pink. I'm driving a Lady Pink, man. So these three young men in their 20s come in a Lady Pink and the place full of go-go dancer. And then we seem to drive a reasonable car. Now that was the problem. So we go in there and all the go-go start to crowd around me. So a one-foot go-go dancer decides to take a set on me. And me never like 1 foot. Yeah, man, she had 1 foot. And she tell me, say,
oh,
she come
wow.
from Clarendon and she have 3 picnic, right? But
wow.
I know, so the first thing she look is money. So I
uh-huh.
said to her, so I took out my wallet, you know, early. And me had about 3 or 4 Cayman dollars in the wallet. But me not sure the whole of the money, you know. Me just open the wallet and peep and sure about 3 of the dollars. And me say, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I am from Nigeria. I'm from Lagos in Nigeria. So she said, mm-hmm. what we are doing? She said, you know, I work on an ice ship. And the ice ship is stranded in the Kingston Harbor. So she said, so you work with oil? We say, yes, you have money. We say, yes, I have money, darling. I have money. But you see, it's a lira. It's of no use to you. If I give it to you, you will have to go to the Bank of Jamaica to get the lira change. So she said, oh, so me say, anything. You see, my two friends over there, they are Jamaicans. So what you can do, Well, it's no say. She did order on the bill. 6 o'clock the next morning, God get the bill. God said, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
then how this a bill stay so? Right? When, got the bill well padded, you know. So, in gonna pack it and in pay the bill because me tell my girl, say, it's lira me have, you know. It's when we open up the door, the police was in the yard, right? But it so happened that me come out to the door first and the 1 foot go-go dancer come out now and lean up on me and the police, I look for me and the 1 foot go-go dancer, right? And I look for the Gata and Romy with about 3 or 4 go-go dancers around them. So the police then look for me and then shake their head and then just jump back to their vehicle and drive off. Right? Because they realize that we're not criminal and we spend the night there and they just wanted to see the face. Right?
Okay.
But here the part now, 3 weeks after God picked me up, not telling where I go, we not reach back a Lady Pink. So, me never remember, so the lady come to me, so tell me something. So I saw. So we was aboard, she said, which ship? Right? Then me catch up for myself. And we say, oh, you know, we had a hard time out in the Caribbean Sea. And we have to turn back. And can you imagine, we normally we go to Lagos to get our pay. And I haven't got any pay. So I am still here stranded in Jamaica.
I'm not playing with you. I'm not playing with you tonight.
Well, those are my two recollections of Gilbert. Right? And God.
Oh my gosh.
I call you by your right name. If you are listening, I hope your wife don't take the frying pan and hit you in your head. And just for some clarity, mistress, this was before he got married to you. Yes, this was when we were bachelors, swinging bachelors.
Ouch.
Right? So don't worry about
so,
it.
So once you get married, you can't have any more fun. Is
no,
that
you
what
cannot
it is?
Have any more fun. Yes, that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you become a caged bird. You once used to soar like an eagle, now you walk like a duck, and you look like a goose.
Oh, gosh.
And you quack like a gander. That's what marriage does.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, don't sound like a real nice place, though. Hey, once a big love and good evening to all of you guys out there. My number one fan, Tony, I'm waving at you. Mahala on Hoho. Hawaii.
Yes, because you have to talk so Hawaiian to me. Now, go on, talk.
We're not talking Hawaiian to you. Stop. No,
because
some mess already.
So let me ask something. Where I love you in Hawaiian mean?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
How you can go?
You know, so you're not talking about the high love you. You always know curse words, not no love words.
Yes, but you go there and you see these people. Finally, the first thing I learned is good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I go
mm-hmm.
to any country that I don't answer, good morning, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
I learn I love you. How do I say,
mm-hmm.
can I have a beer? How can I say, where is the toilet?
Okay.
Those are the most important things I try to find out when I go to a country. To know what they mean. Right?
Yes,
because I can't imagine you go to...
If you're in a country that the language is overwhelmingly that particular language, you definitely are forced to. But when you remember, United States is still Hawaii, or Hawaii is still United States. So
I know.
You have present. But just a couple of words that, you know, is just predominantly there. I mean, I'm not going to be here for a few days. So I don't really know a lot about anything. So forgive me if my language is not up to par in terms of Hawaii and stuff.
There's three things I love with Hawaii. One,
mm-hmm.
there's a drink near Hawaiian punch. I don't know if it is Hawaii come from.
I think so.
Right. So I love Hawaiian punch. I kind of prefer it than Pepsi. Right. But I love Hawaiian punch.
Mm-hmm.
I normally, whenever I see it in the supermarket in Jamaica, because not often we see it here, normally the supermarket might supply it for some returning resident. I always try and buy like a gallon of Hawaiian punch. It normally costs about over $1,000, but I normally try and buy one. Second thing I love about Hawaii is the reggae. Hawaii have some interesting reggae, because I was trying to find if our system was set up different. I would have played some Hawaiian reggae. Many years ago, there were some record labels that used to send me songs, reggae songs from Hawaii. Some of them are a mixture of English and their native tongue, right? But they sound good. They sound like real one-drop Jamaican reggae. You know, here, you know, dancehall, you know, into the dancehall thing. They kind of have this real good island vibes. Right? And when I think Hawaii, I think of people like Fiji, a singer named Fiji, and several others. I just can't remember all of them off at the top of my head now. Right? But they used to send me stuff. One of my first hits that I had, now before I even talk about that hit, you know that, well, it's off the coast of Hawaii, but Guam. Right?
Yeah, Guam.
Guam is where...
Guam is different.
Yes, Guam is different, but Guam is where Shaggy got the first big break, you know.
Mm.
Yes, there's a guy that was there named Joshua, my good friend. I was a member of an organization in the 80s, coming to 90s, coming to the early 2000s, called Reggae Ambassador Worldwide. Big up to all the Reggae Ambassador Worldwide who are listening. I know that some of your friends were a member of Reggae Ambassador Worldwide. So it was led by a man called Papa Pilgrim and Joshua from Guam. And, for example, some with Shaggy Breakday, I had some early production where I had help work with a singer named Helen Lee Shong. She was a Lee Shong, yes, a Chinese Jamaican. And she was Miss Florida about 1993, 94 there. And I had some songs with her. We did a song with Toots and so on that I had when I was producing. So she made it big in Guam. And basically, when we did Lighthouse with Bushman, I need a lighthouse, right? That was big in Guam. That time I was more with what is called World of Music, which is Barry O'Hoyeri. God bless him soul. Rest in peace, Barry. Right? So we used to push, what we used to do, we used to push our songs first as a production company to Guam and Hawaii. Right? And hope that it will break over and come over into the American market. Right? So I like Hawaii for its reggae. And I hope before you leave, you could get some Hawaiian reggae music for me, especially those in English. Right? Well, you don't have
definitely.
To be CD, but you can maybe get them MP3 because I intend to play them on my program. We have had artists that we have pushed to our thing that perform in Hawaii. You just say, well, that I have not been there physically, but I love the Hawaiian people vibes. And what I like with the ladies, they are, when I say, I hope I pronounce the term right, they are Polynesians, right? That means they have a little Chinese, what we call Chinese, Oriental, a little Oriental blood, little Amer-Indian blood.
More Japanese-like.
And Japanese. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But them love our Jamaican vibes. I don't think no states in the Americas love the Jamaican vibes. Like, almost only California and, because people talk New York and like New York is this. I'm like, no, man. You want to see people of Jamaican vibes, California and Hawaii. Right.
Okay,
so I must say,
okay.
Yeah, man. So I love Hawaii for that. I hope that with the acquisition of my traveling status back in hand, I hope that for my birthday, the 5th of November, Cherry will send me a ticket to Hawaii.
Okay, Lord.
Right. But when I go there, I don't want no fire to break out when we go there.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
Right. And I know that Hawaii have their several volcanoes. Most of their volcanoes are very active. And I know that there's a fault line. That fault line comes from Hawaii to California, come on the coast. But
correct.
It's called San Andreas Fault or something like that.
Exactly. You got
it. And they are shifting of plates, tectonics, plates in
tectonics.
That era,
right?
So I am normally fret even for my cousin in California because earthquake is very common in those era, and especially in Japan as well. I have some in-laws in Japan, big them up. I don't know if they are a few hours ahead of us, so I don't know if they are listening.
I'm 6 hours. Yeah, I'm 6 hours behind you, too.
Oh.
So today, I'm going to tell you, today probably is my only time that I may be able to join you. So I'm really, really, really happy that I could join you today because right as I'm sitting, I have a bag packed
to fly out to Maui any second now. So I am having all of my equipment around me looking.
It's 9:08 in Jamaica. What is the time now where you are?
It is, let me figure which place, let me look. It is 3:10.
Wow, in the afternoon?
Yes.
So that means that you're not near Medina yet?
No.
So hungry must have killed you, they know.
No. But, you know, at this particular time, as I said, it is just, I'm in a holding mode right now. You know, a couple of days or so, or next week, you know, if I'm lucky, I may be able to join you. If I'm not, as long as I'm here, I'm probably not going to be able to join you. Cause
so what are you helping with? The restoration after the fire, or is it fire in Hawaii and storm in California?
No, I'm leaving California already. I'm in Hawaii now.
Oh, you're in Hawaii now? Oh. So you're more looking about the restoration of the fire. Because
fire,
from my end, it is said that the fire is mysterious. There's one theory that some laser, I've been reading about some laser beam something. I don't know if you heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. When these things happen, especially these exotic islands that seem so very favorable for multi-billionaire, and Hawaii and the islands, it's seven islands that are mainly inhabitable here. I think six or seven, one out of two. So you have the soil, which a lot of people, although it has all of these possible, anything can happen. These lands for these native people have more than significance for just, you know, a geography. They have spiritual connection, very much spiritually connected to these lands and their ancestors. And they're also desirable lands for
What I'm reading is that there are a conspiracy theory that it could have been man-made to assist the wealthy. But there's really no proof for that. And that's what I'm picking up from my corner of the earth.
Right. It's not, you know, you're always going to have stuff. Whether it walks close or it not walk close or it's far or whatever. When you have situation, people always want to put things together that, you know, pleases them or bring out. Sometimes it's maybe far away from the truth, but it brings attention to say, don't even think about it, guys. You know, X and Y happened because in Florida, I was in Fort Myers not too long ago, and the devastation in that was in Fort Myers. You know, you have boat on street, you have boat in a tree. I've never seen anything like that. But as soon as that happened, those properties that were along the coast, if that property was for $500 before the storm, when the storm happened, I'm talking about no house, everything is in stops of our house. You see a five-story house literally upside down, which is just like, unbelievable. Somebody will come in and I said this house was saved for $1,000. Previously, somebody is coming in and offering $100,000.
Whoa.
Because here is the thing. These houses were there. And now you have eventually, and I hope we get a chance to really talk about preparation in disaster. I don't want to, you know, want to dismiss your son. I hope that he will get an opportunity, even if I'm not able to join you on the show, to really talk about that a little bit more. But anyway, when you have, like, say, Florida, a lot of people are moving out of Florida in order to go to, you know, neighboring states. Because Florida, the insurance, you have out-of-pocket insurance just upfront, $20,000 before the insurance start paid. And a lot of property in Florida, no insurance is insuring them after a while. It is so damn expensive. So it is not a place, a desirable place to for the average person. You know, usually have a lot of folks coming down retired because the sunshine and the water and all of that is not desirable because you don't have any protection for your property. And what that happens when you don't have any protection for your property, it means that you are is a Russian roulette. You have a $2 million house. You can't get insurance for it, and something happened to your $2 million house. And if you apply for aid and assistance from the federal government, you're only going to get probably for rebuilding. Well, I mean, if you get a rebuild, you're not going to get a $2 million house because, you know, if you're looking at the federal government is not insurance. It's assistance just for you to get a safe place, you know, and a healthy place. That's the thing. So your property for $2 million, if you don't have no insurance on it, is gone. It's gone, 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 because nobody is going to give you back $2 million to rebuild if you don't have insurance. So it don't make any good common sense for you. So what happened? Some of these company, and this is just my opinion, rush in immediately, and you want to rush in at that time. This is the business psychology. People are under stress, they are confused, they are everything. Oh, I'll give you $200,000 for this, or I'll give you a $500,000 for this. Oh my God. Oh, you know, and you say, all right, okay, I'm done with this place, and you're cussing this place, so you're done with it, and you take the money. And when you realize $500,000 cannot exactly come by nothing, because if you want to move up the road, you can't buy by what you had. So this is why they come in when you're confused, when you're angry, and they rush at you for you to make these decisions, and they can come in. So my theory of, like, Florida now, you have this big, it's a part of gentrification as well, because they do this in anywhere you have near water, and you have people who have a certain income. They come in, they offer you twinkly eye with something that you think that is that you can go out and buy something. So they gentrify the area, get you out, and they put up their $1 million places. And you who just sell your place can't even live in one room. Much less to even go back there. So it's the same thing. So what's happening, I think, these guys come in, buy it out. So it's like the whole Florida after a while is going to be like a resort, almost like. So you come there, you spend your vacation, and you go out. It doesn't profit you to really live, especially on the coast of Florida anymore, because if you have storm coming, and it's not if a storm is coming.
It's a real storm.
When the storm. Yeah, so that is the situation now. So the allure is not there anymore, I think.
for Florida. I'm in the near future. When we talk about the weather pattern that is really hitting and the destruction that comes with it. And you cannot even estimate sometime what is coming on. It is horrific. If you really are in the path and you even survive, and this is why a lot of people kind of say run away. Yeah, some of them always have a mind and say, hey, you're going to stay. And talking about Hardeman, just give me a few minutes to just.
I'm gonna play a song.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna drop some tune. Come in, man called Steve Marley, brand new album, Old Soul.
It was 1972, my mom and papa brought me through. Back then I was the favorite, so they say. Even though he was way before his time, I knew every nest on Marley line. You know that Peter Tosh was fly, them diamond socks and corduroy. Fast forward to 1981, my dad moved on and so did I. Inside I kept his songs alive, so they say. Living in the body of a 9-year-old. Guess I've been here before. I'm an old soul. Tribute to the ones who made it all possible. Inside me a legacy lives on. It's now 1991. This was the year after graduation. Shabba Ranks was on the radio station. I played some songs for Mama Ritz. I had that girl from round the way. UB40 was on the play. I can't forget that holiday. Marvin Gaye stole her heart away, and I had to learn the hard way. She'll always be a part of me. It's until I met that Mary Jane. Old legends reincarnate. Living in the body of a 12-year-old. Guess I've been here before. I'm an old soul. Tribute to the ones who made it all possible. Inside me, legacy lives on. Body of a 12-year-old. Yes, I've been here before.
Yes, I've been here before.
I'm an old soul. Tribute to the ones who made it all possible. Inside me, a legacy lives.
I'm an old soul.
Living in the body of a 12-year-old. Yes, I've been here before. Legacy lives on. Inside me, legacy lives on.
Yeah, man. The voice of Steve Marley. You know, Steve Marley, you know, I think that is happening with reggae over the next few weeks is that some extremely good albums are coming out. I've had the opportunity to get to listen to some tracks before release from Steve Marley. Burning Spear also have a brand new album coming out very shortly. I've got the chance to listen to about 5 tracks. Buju Banton has a new album coming out. I've get the chance to listen in. And Beanie Man, well, I haven't got the chance yet, have a new album called Simmer. But it's a 21 track album here with some wicked collaboration. I haven't got the chance to listen to that. Bounty Killer also have been playing around whether to release or not to release his album. I haven't had a chance to listen to that. What, because one of the things I'm concerned about is that we have been having a lot of what we call scammer music, what we call trap reggae. And most of the producers in Jamaica, the real best producers, is like they have the sat back and kind of unplug. It's like they just unplug and say, you know what, because what them youth are going with, and see how long they can go on with it for. So we just stop and make them swear them a do. Because as far as we're concerned, we don't think that vibe's going to get anywhere. So what I see happening is some of the artists and producers is testing the market with some good stuff. AJ Boots Brown supposed to soon release an album. One of our friends, one of our biggest fans, have to do with the production of that album. Right? So we're looking forward to that. So, and it's a good solo project. It's like, AJ, just take a little break. Just like how you have Grams Morgan and take a little break from Morgan Heritage and so on. Because sometimes you have to test your market for you too, you know. Especially when you're in a group and you have different voices. The greatest thing is to keep that unity, but give everybody a chance. When you look at the Wailers, you had in the early days, Peter was had put out his album and Legalize It, and Bunny has put out Black Heart Man. Same time when Bob had put out Natty Dread, you know. So I think sometimes you have to test, but the future, like, it's gonna be.
It is, but it's not always that a group break up though, because sometimes a group is a group because a group has that particular
chemistry.
Melody.
Yes.
And chemistry. But sometimes they cannot survive on their own.
Yes.
When the group break up, not all of them can do well singularly on their own. So sometimes you have to be, and even sometimes who you recognize as the lead singer say, boy, I'm your alone, I pull this thing, you know, so me want to go on my own. And a lot of guys who do that, they don't necessarily become successful. Of course,
that's true.
A lot of them do. Barry Salmon is one big time success. Of course,
from
the
Zappo.
Rest of the guys, in Zappo, who don't never really, you know. But look at how he does. You know, and a lot of other guys really pull away and make it, but some, not always, get the success as if it were with the group. And I also think I may have something that probably COVID, the kind of isolation a little bit gave the group some kind of a creativity away
from the Madden crowd and touring. Yeah,
exactly. So they get a little bit opportunity to be a little bit more creative. They had all of those 2 years to put together. So I think that I would hope that some of our creativity is added to the music coming up. I think we should expect a lot of things coming out, a lot of these albums coming out.
Yeah, what I hear from Steven so far is very excellent, right? I've heard one or two tracks from Spear. I hear about five or six of them. I think the album was about 11 tracks. I think I've heard about five of them. Right, but as for Steven, I think what you have, excellent. You know, listening to Stevie last night, I went and I started to just listen to some Kimani music. And, you know, I started to think to myself, I say, you know, the Marley family, nothing in the world can stop them. And they are professional. They have ageless stuff. And when I say ageless stuff. And, you know, with some of our Jamaican music, is that it's like a fad. You listen to a song.
Yeah, it's
and
like bubblegum. Bubblegum,
right. Yeah, right. So
yeah.
It is that. So I could go back to...
I think I definitely want to go back to that. I think more or less I would hope, I usually do a university 101, the music business, trying to get the artists for years to kind of come and look at the business aspect. And one of my things is that I always say, hey, you could have the voice of a Tweety Bird and you could have raised mountain if you don't have a good production team. And if not manageable, you have to be able to be manageable, because your voice alone don't make you a star, isn't it? It contributes to you being a star, but your management team and you're able to do, listen to your management. You have to be packaged properly, and I think that's what the Marley has. Are they the greatest singer? For me, I will make my comments with a lot of them. But they have created a brand, and it's not a matter of how you have the voice that how you sing, but how you present your brand.
Thank you.
And that's what the Marley have. And I think that they should learn something from that, but I think the Jamaican musician, unfortunately, in my own humble position, I've dealt with so many of them, and I find they are either unwilling or not able to. And eventually what they can boast about is a lot of them have great voice, great everything. And them can only tell you, I've been in this business for 40 years, so tell me which plane you are flying at the sky up yourself. Which one of them, what are you doing? And if you reach to that point, the reason why they are not there, they do not make themselves manageable. They don't sit down.
Manageable, right.
Themselves with, and make them have a manager. A lot of them start with no shoes, no drawers, no pants. And as them kind of, you work with them, bring them so them start to see the light, them run and gone, and they keep running and hopping and hopping and hopping and hopping and hopping. And they always hop out until they can't hop no more. And you end up, unfortunately, as the people, as a country listening to their music, have to support their demise. And it's very unfortunate. They spend 40, 50, 60 years and nothing. Nothing.
I say, Copeland Forbes, just write his red book. I call it a red book. And I think I've read it about twice. And I'm about to read it the third time. Because what Copeland in the book shows is the exact, nearly every Jamaican musician, most of them make the same mistake, but the same part.
And Copeland, I usually invite him on my Radio Music 101 stuff.
He planned to join us. Well, just for me to find the right Wednesday. Right?
Yes. I usually have Copeland on in the evenings on my, talking about this. This is something that we have championed. I don't know how to present and market what will make the Jamaican musician successful. I have tried, and I won't say I'm a person who give up, but my interests have shifted to other things. It's very, very, very difficult. It's going to take a lot of training. It's going to take a lot of reculturization of what the music and what it is to be a superstar, what it is and what it entails. Because folks don't know that even your clothes, how you talk, you have somebody who have to prep you to do a news release, a press release, and some of them don't even want to do interview, believe that is something they should be paid for rather than an opportunity to really make the world see them. So I really don't understand. Jamaica, the highest paid person in reggae music, and maybe I'm wrong right now, and somebody please correct me, and I will stand corrected, is the person who has, who excel mostly in terms of being paid with reggae music is not a Jamaican. I'm almost sure of that. I know at one point it wasn't. I can call some name that does so much better at reggae music in terms of, you know, financial. And you have people who we only know them name and them not make a dime. And people who are not Jamaican who have adapted the music doing much, super more better.
Man, when you look for the work of UB40, when you look for Revolution, Slightly Stupid.
Stop.
Right.
Stop. Well, we have to be thankful, say, for UB40 and like Eric Donaldson, because the little money really and notoriety came from UB40 really help out reggae music.
Yeah, I love UB40.
You know,
I love them.
Exactly.
I'm one of their fans.
Yeah.
Because they are real and they got into it and they are stick to the genre and they grew up in a ghetto era, because the name of the group is UB40, Unemployment, right? So I love them. The only thing, the only difference between me and them is that their pigmentation is different, right? But I love them.
Well,
yes.
You see, a lot of those guys, them believing in the reggae music, the vibes of the reggae music, more than the people, some of the artists who are singing.
Jamaicans,
them
people,
let me tell you something. I have friends who are never been to Jamaica, who have helped to push this music. And trust me, when them people they talk about reggae music and how it affects their life and how they are living it, you say, you look, you want to turn your head very slowly and look and open your eyes and your mouth and say, what, are you talking about reggae music like that? I mean, they have a passion because the music have done for them, they'll tell you the music saved their life. I was interviewing a guy from, I think, Madagascar, I think, some time ago. And the guy says, I said to the guy, first of all, I didn't know that these white folks were Jamaican. I had the interview set up and I didn't know. And when the guy started to talk to me, I kind of detect something. And I said, where in Jamaica are you from? He said, no, they're from Madagascar. I think it was Madagascar. And I said, why? You have all of these music that you can think about singing. Why a little tiny place like Jamaica, you'll adopt their music? They say the music from Jamaica, the reggae music, is life. It is dynamic. It is, and
it's
I stopped talking.
People. And we are here messing it up and put Satan
exactly,
in the music.
Exactly. I don't know about Satan, if Satan is such a bad person who gives nonsense.
Well,
but
look, the Satan of the music, because all of a sudden, this generation are putting the scamming and the urban and the music and talk about this and that. Yeah. Right, this is the music of one love, you know, peace and love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of reggae songs like Peter Tosh Creation and so on was being adapted like from the Anglican Church as hymns. To put it in their hymn book.
Oh.
Right. We were producing that. Enough to see. Like a generation of vipers putting out some of us coming songs and how much Obey Man and how much gathering was weird.
Oh. I think, again, you can come up with some great topic to talk about. We need to focus on some of these because this is conversation that we really need to have if we're going to help to save our country. This is why CRS Radio Caribbean Radio Show is here. And we try to have this platform open, that we can have an open dialogue with our people. So we don't have to be a million of us. You know, we kind of try and get to a place where we have full understanding of who we are, where we are, the contribution that we are making, the contribution that we will be continuing to make, and the influence we have over the entire world. And you know, little by little, we infect the rest of the nest and kind of turn this thing around, because we have to. We cannot not continue like this. I so happened to, and I was very touched to see Bounty Killer went down into Sea View Garden, a place that before I left Jamaica, I had the opportunity to working with Ministry of Housing at that time to set up Sea View Garden, Mountain View, De La Vega City, and all of those times. When those schemes came in, it was like the entire hope and dreams for people. And you look at those people, those houses were like $36 a month in those times to pay for those houses. And those are million-dollar houses now. Everybody should have paid off for their houses a long time ago. And to see how some of these are turning to garrison. Sea View Garden, he went down there and he was telling the people, hey, this is our place. This is my place, and we cannot make certain character. We hide them all out of fear being our community. And it was so nice that he, as, you know, a celebrity, would have go back in there and start talking to the people. And I think the responsibility of a lot of these artists must get up and stand up. Look at their bullhorn. I don't even say mic. They have a bullhorn. People will listen to them. People have been listening to them. And not only that, should they get up and talk and try and rally the troops, they need to go into their pocket. They need to start contributing to their community. Which one of these big artists go back up in the country boats where them come from that made them and go back in and set up two little basic school or do all of that kind of a charity back to the community? I think we have lost a whole lot of that, and this is something that we have to bring back to our community if we're going to make any headway and change some of them kind of attitude that we have.
You know, sometimes there are two sides to this story, you know, because yesterday I went to the hospital to look for Owen, music producer Owen Mills. And Owen's story and my story is a shocking story. 2 weeks ago, we heard that a judge from Westmoreland sent a most wanted criminal to call out in Malvern. That is where I am from. And I started to kick a storm and I said, look, why send a cheaper murderer, to Malvern to call out? Because he have relatives there, and according to the judge, in fear that his gang members might create more havoc in Westmoreland. So he wanted to send it to quiet, quaint Malvern for this to cool out. And what make it worse is that he said report to the station every Saturday. And I am saying, no, this guy has to report to the police station every day. So I started to pull some string. I call the mayor. And we decided, well, we're going to have a meeting last week, Tuesday, with the citizens and the police high command in regards to the whole situation. Now, I got warning that I should not go because they know I'm going to talk strong. And then somebody will either be pointing me out, say, well, you see him? Yeah, him are the instigator, you know.
The ringer.
Right. And I say, no, it was my hometown. Sometimes you must make the present citizen start out themselves. So all of a sudden, Owen would have said the person who, the benefactor who helped the whole town collapse and end up in hospital.
Uh-oh.
Owen collapsed. And with Owen collapsing, he have a business place. The business place, Cherry, is less than 50 meters from the police station. And you know, they went and broke his house and broke his business place 50 meters away from the police station. So, you know, it hit everybody hard. So it end up now that my youth make a wrong move and the police kill him last week Friday.
Ooh.
Yes, kill him last week Friday. And then we kind of figure out who were the person who break into the shop, into the business.
Oh.
So yesterday I went to look for Owen. And I want to tell the world that he is in good spirit, recovering. He just wanted to come home. And I can't, when I mention the business place, he say, him not worry about it. Greatest thing is that him have life. Mm. But the thing is that him know that people like me will be concerned because this is our hometown. And if anything happen to him, the place become vulnerable. And there's that feeling of being vulnerable. Right? So, talking about terrorists and killing, Mrs., you hear the news today? Do you not hear what happened
to you? No, remember the part of the world where we are concentrated on something else.
Then you not hear the hurricane that happened in Europe?
No, I didn't. I haven't. Hey, let me tell you something. Here. One brain, you see, one of the things, you know, though, when you're in a certain place.
See me saying here, say, they shoot the rumpel skin out of the sky.
No, they're not here.
they shoot the rumpel skin. Remember saying, for rumpel skin, then I carry in Belgium towards Moscow, you know, and Putin say, making go the other country where in bridging around when near to Ukraine, and you notice Putin just take a what kind of liquor they're having a vodka, yeah man, vodka where they live.
Vodka.
One in Russia, and Putin just take a bottle of Smirnoff and say, all right, long run shall catch, and he say, oh, my friend, are you this me? Long run shall catch, man. You think, say, you're my bosom friend. There's nobody over the past 20 years that come near me and Putin. And if they think, say, they can't ever take over, me get rid of them. Me are the real bad man. Me better than Ninja Man. Me are the real bad man. So, today now, Mr. Rumpelstiltskin now must have fly in a private jet. And after some budoy, then shoot it down out of the ear. Eight of them dead. Now, him at the, yes, and him at the head of Wagner, you know. He's the head of Wagner. So you know, you have to think two things. Remember saying, you know, having private army, you know, and the private army was doing a lot of the dirty work for Russia in a Ukraine, you know.
Right.
And here say the private army have troops in a different part of Africa. I help out certain like Niger and Congo and some other countries in Africa there. Right? Then did they help catch protection? But then basically I helped to overthrow most all of the French connection and even the American connection. Right. So, Mr. Rumpelstiltskin, Ghana Boneyard. But the thing now is Putin might have a killing teeth. Right? But right away, you don't know how the influence, because sometimes, you know, a man cut off a cobra head or cut off a snake head, you know, and thinks that the snake dead, you know. And the snake is dead, you know. Because maybe you have a number three. Can we not say the word number two?
Well, of course, you can't just, hey. That is the thing, you know. When you do the mission, then, you know, you have 2, 3, 4, and 5, where you mystically put down. All right, so you know, play the game.
So.
You know, it's amazing, though. It's amazing,
President
though.
Biden had said any day now, he expects that Putin to get rid of Rumpelstiltskin. Right? And see there, and Biden was right. Then the funny thing now is that me hear Dan, I said, boy, him ready for go cool out in Atlanta for put on an iron suit like I'm a suit at least at Jamaica, yeah. Right? No?
Hey, hold on. Let me tell you something. And we need to talk about regular FIFA teams in a little bit. let me tell you something. I'm listening to you talk, and sometimes you get an opportunity to sit back and you look at the world that we're living in.
Yeah.
And you look at the people them who so-called intelligence, and you look at what the hell we're fighting for.
For,
and
yeah.
How vicious and callous we are to another two-foot human being, two-eyed, two will have connection and blood around them being just like you, and you just look at them and just sweep them out like them nothing, playing a game, a literal chess game. Sit down and you have these men sitting down playing chess game, and your life worth nothing. And when you check it out, the all of them time, this illusion that we're going to have peace and we are loved. That's why I don't like those words. Peace, probably, we're trying to get there, but the love thing and all of that, it is just a illusion. And when you have the religious thing coming in, the camouflage of this religious thing coming in, and you have these men sitting down and striking, just I can't even find the word. We need to. We have a war, and sometimes I look at it and I say, I don't want to get too much religiosity here right now. But you look at the world, and if you say there is a God out there, you mean say our God and devil, which two of them can call up and say, hey,
make we link together.
Hey, you sit down here. So make we deal with this. Our Muhammad and God and Hindu and Krishna and all of them guys there. No girls, no night. Maybe that's why you don't have a, we have the problem we have. But you mean to tell me that them cannot smell the blood and the suffering and the pain wherever they are, quote unquote, in the universe or in the stratosphere, and say a time till we change this now? Come
then,
on. You sit down and admit these people in your name, you know. Because in a Jesus' name, they might do it. In a Muhammad name, in a all kind of name, they might do it. And you can call off your dogs them now and say, come on. If this was really real, and say, come on, guys, hey, we can't continue to have suffering like this. No wonder why so, quote, unquote, Mother Hurt is so furious right now.
Yes, angry, right? And then when you look at this poor old man, when he giddy, the giddy man, Italian man, farmer mayor in New York now, poor man now have to take plane, hire jet, figure go Atlanta, figure have one last bus seat now, figure find Aaron suit. And him, Adandan put him in a problem. I never him start
no
problem.
The thing about it, you know, each one of them are totally responsible. Me and you there, you alone responsible for yourself. And if me not greedy and me not make you suck me into something, I am responsible for me. And all of them, you know, them greed and them suffering. And they thought, and I think this is one of the time we say, hey, you know, I don't know if it's justice or, you know, because you can have all of this hassle to this point and then things can turn around where everybody walk free and laugh after everybody. I hope it's not the case, but I think a lot of people will look at this and say, hey, you know, maybe there's some kind of justice and that. But it's kind of a justice that is, you don't know what is going to become of whatever the end result of this, how it is going to cause some other eruption because, you know, this kind of a situation takes place. But in talking about that, you know, here is the thing, and I don't think this is any kind of theory in any way, but it's a matter of preparing. When we talk about Armageddon and when we talk about that, although you can't too prepare here because you can't jump off of this place, go anywhere, except probably if you're a friend with Mr. Zuckerberg, all of them people, you can take one of them aircraft and go up a moon and wait and look until things get settled down. You can't jump off anywhere and get in a safe haven anywhere. So if we're going to survive, how do we survive as a species if we don't have a fallout or whatever? Or if we have a fallout, what are we going to do? How are we going to save ourselves if we can save ourselves? Because maybe we have, you know, we're going to perish no matter what. But at least we have some kind of preparation just in case. Some of the things that we can do, and I think we need to really put a package together. Let's say almost put a package together. We can say, folks, this is some serious time that we're living in. And just in case this thing come down where we can survive, here is what you have to do. One of my things that I do constantly, I don't have a lipstick in my purse. I have
neither me.
Literally, you replace it. No, General. I don't have a lipstick in my purse. I replace my lipstick with a nice tube, almost like a tube of seeds. I constantly have seed. I have a mini seed bank in my purse all the time. And everywhere I go, because I get to kind of go a few places, because that's where the job takes me, I always kind of try to get some seeds to add to that. And as simple as that may sound, and especially talking to my Jamaican brethren and people, we were used to planting. My father, bless his soul, my second daddy, every time, and I'm just saying this man is a genius, and I didn't even know. I was thinking, I was like, and then that's where they feed them. I'm going to put them down. We want to catch the breed of that seed. We want to catch the breed of that plant. I'm always said that. I'm going to put on the seed. I'll put on the mango seed. I'll put on the jackfruit seed, whatever seed. I'm always a talk about. I have some seed or I have some calalo seed put on somewhere or something. Why are they yam head them or, you know, the rent ahead are all them stuff. So you grew up and I saw this. It didn't come in like anything to me until I started to look around. Yes. And you get to realize that, damn, there's not a mango seed, although me know say the mango seed that can grow. Me no eat one mango or put on the seed, or me no eat any kind of seed and put it on for dry and store it away wherever I can. So, first of all, folks, we need to start collect seed. We need to have a seed bank.
And you have to tell the people them in 90 seconds what to collect their seed.
No.
90 seconds to go.
oh my gosh. You see, we're seeing that. Well, you know what? I hope that you will carry on the seed thing and really focus on preparation in terms of disaster awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully I'll get a chance to join you some of the times. But I want to say a hi in a big wave. I want to say hi, Uncle. Hi, Tony and all my friends out there. I want to say HB, big up yourself and take care. Perry, Gary, all of you guys, Sulet, all of the big lists I have here. Hi, hello, hola, Malawa, all of those good things. And until we
chat Hawaii.
We chat, aloha, until we chat again. Well, take it away, my boss.
Yes, man. Blessed love to all my brethren and sisters. Next week, same time, same place.